Progressives. Welcome back to Choose Views, 773-763-9278. Dr. Harry Crawford is, I would say, one of those leading voices. It's a distinguished author. Most recent book is The Other Side of Midnight, A Journey to Healing Spouses and Loved Ones Affected by Suicide. She's a survivor as well as a psychologist that has helped so many people with a variety of different struggles. But she herself specifically is a the spouse of a retired Chicago police officer who died by suicide in 2019. And her book highlights the trauma, but also working through the other side, as the book is entitled, The Other Side of Midnight. Welcome to the show, Dr. Crawford. Welcome to Choose Views this morning.
Thank you. Thank you for having me this morning. This is a great opportunity to be able to share some important information on a much needed topic.
Absolutely, it is. And I know that over the years, these past, 5 to 6 years, you've been showered with a variety of different words to keep you propped up and to keep you strong in the face of what you had to experience. But the thing that I would say to you is courageous and giving, because to be able to take this tragedy and share that, and then the strength that people need to be able to persevere when something like this happens, I believe is important, and your willingness to give back at a time like this. So thank you for that, and thank you for being with us. Take a moment, if you can, to share a little bit about your background as a doctor, as a trauma expert.
Well, I am a licensed social worker. I started off in the field of social work. I've been doing it for the past 25 years, working closely with families and individuals who may have experienced traumatic experiences. It's usually the underserved populations that I worked so closely with throughout my career. I decided to go to school to become a business psychologist in order to help organizations and companies to be able to be work well with those who work under them, the voices that's never heard. And so my fight for my whole career has always been to increase the voices of those that doesn't really have a voice in the space.
And there are millions of people all over our country that are in that space, as you've said. They have varieties of different types of trauma going on, and so many different forms of sadness in their life that they don't talk about. And in the workplace, and I can see where your business psychologist and psychology work has been important and relevant. In the workplace, folks don't necessarily talk about we may talk about it on a very surface level, but getting into the depths of why they may be struggling with something that even their coworkers don't know about, and they probably wouldn't know about it because it may be so incredibly personal to them. You've really helped people in that area.
Yes, I really try to, as I stated, add the voice for people who don't feel comfortable or confident enough to do it for themselves. Social work has been, and psychology has been, a lifelong passion of mine to be able to help individuals who don't feel as if they feel supported or heard, or just doesn't know how to connect themselves to the right resources that they may need in order to help them to move forward in certain areas. And so I feel it's important to be able to make that happen for people who don't have the wherewithal or feel confident enough or even feel like they have the power to do it for themselves, because a lot of times we don't do or say things because we don't feel empowered to do so.
So when you say empowered to do so, and empowered to have those conversations, what is your experience of what that looks like, what that may mean to people?
So for me, empowered means writing the book, right? mm-hmm. adding that voice in that space where our voice is not really heard. You hear people constantly speaking of someone who may have lost their life to suicide, but it's always one of those things where the conversation is had in secret, right? It's never had in an open space because it's so taboo to talk about that. We just got very comfortable with having that conversation within our community and our societies as of recently. But for so many years, you just didn't speak of that. And so for me, it's like, well, no more. We need to speak of it. We need to make this concern in our communities and our society known. We need to add a voice to this. There's no more space to be silent.
That's another, not to have you writing yet another great book, but that's another great title. There's no space to be silent. We obviously have a political talk show here, but we talk about social issues. And one of them is our care for one another, our care for our society at large, and the greater concern around health care and health issues. Do you think, and I know this is, you know, just in a little way, not putting you on the spot, but just to get your opinion and your experience, do you think that we as a society don't put enough money, effort, resources into this part of health care, this part of care and personal care, because of the stigma about someone having a mental disorder? Why do you think, and I'm kind of leaning in this direction of my own question, but what are your thoughts there in terms of what we don't spend, what we don't invest in this part of medical or health care?
I agree. There's not enough money invested in a space. Oftentimes, you know, I work as a director of a health program at the University of Chicago, and we often find challenges with finding resources for our patient population who may need mental health services because it's not readily available, right? Because it's one of those things where mental health was looked at one of those things that you managed at home with your family versus you seeking outside help because no one wanted to be stigmatized. And so I just think it has spilled over into our healthcare system where things are not viewed, it's not viewed as serious of a health risk as someone who may have a terminal illness of cancer or things to that nature where the resources will be poured into that area. But for mental health, for so long, people have tried to manage it on their own that the severity of the importance to have the money into that service so that people can get the help that they need in the right setting, right? Not at home, not trying to air out your problems on social media when you're having this mental health crisis and not feeling supported in that. And so for so long, with the shame that have existed around it, I don't think they have really understood the importance of investing in that form of healthcare. Now, are they getting better at it? Yes, they're getting better because now they're seeing more of a rise of so many mental health concerns and issues that people are showing up with at the hospital doors and the clinic at the clinics, and they know that no longer you can't ignore this. This is not something that you can ignore and just send someone away, but these are real health issues. It may not be an issue in a physical issue of your body, but mental issues is just as detrimental as a physical issue with someone who is and living with a mental health issue.
So many people,
or disorder.
Yeah, so many people, Dr. Crawford, we all have heard this so many times that stress, mental stress, can cause so many other ailments that are systemic medical issues that come out of stress, and that mental stress is tied to so many different things that may not get discussed. that then leads to some other form of, you know, a medical issue. And that's, it's sort of like if we could put more light on the fact that sometimes our physical stresses come from some of the mental things that we deal with. And then vice versa, if we do have a physical issue going on, that it may cause some mental stress. They do work together, but oftentimes the mental thing is put over in the corner and it's said that, you know, we don't want to talk about that. We want to deal with those parts of our society and frankly, parts of our humanity. Your book, The Other Side of Midnight, was one that was born out of a tragedy that you personally experienced. And your gift back to so many people was to give messaging and support to help people who may be dealing with or maybe the survivor of a suicide in their own family. And the courage it took you to write this book. What have been some of your responses from people and feedback that you've received from having written The Other Side of Midnight?
I have gotten great feedback and positive feedback, and people appreciating the courage that it took to pen such a book, to not just share a story, but to also to be able to help others in their healing journey. You know, it's easy to write a story, right? But for me, what does that story does to, at the end, to kind of help other people in their healing? So the feedback that I have received from so many people of how helpful that it have been and encouraging, even for individuals who may not have directly had that experience, they have said, I can see this helping in other areas of loss just by the way, you know, it is written. But for those who may have had that experience of losing a loved one to suicide, they feel that it's a very hopeful book and that it can really help with the healing process if you just take the time to read and spend the time within those chapters to kind of help you in your healing journey and process.
Faith, resilience, and recovery from a profound loss is something that you really lean into in the book in terms of how your faith has carried you forward and allowed you to be open and resilient in this journey that you're going to be on candidly for the rest of your life, and to bring, and you know, you're a big proponent of bringing people with you and surrounding yourself with folks that allow you to sustain yourself during this loss. And I know that you've been a really big believer and practitioner of that.
Yes, I believe community is key, be it your community of other, you know, your others who share your same faith, your family. It's just something that is really needed in your journey of healing. You can't do it alone. You should not do it in a silo. You need people around you who can kind of help and encourage you during this dark moment, right? As you're trying to get on the other side of midnight. I credit my faith with giving me the courage to even be bold enough to be able to write this book, to put this experience on paper. It wasn't an easy feat to do, right? It's one of those things like I have to share myself. I have to be able to put a story out there that most people will find to be taboo or shame of it because of their loved one have lost their life to suicide. And we never heard of people talking about that. That was one of those things that happened and then it disappeared.
Right.
I didn't want that to happen. I wanted to be able to put that out there, help people to understand this is not going anywhere. And so if it's not going anywhere, what are we going to do to address this to make sure that we can lessen the rate of individuals who are losing their lives to suicide? And so it was my faith that kept me, that gave me the courage to keep going. And it was my community that kind of encouraged me as well to be able to sit in the moment with the people who rallied themselves around me to support me during that time to give me the encouragement that I need. Now, let's keep in mind, this happened right before the pandemic. And so it became a very challenging time for me to have to sit in those moments alone, community, and about and without my faith. I don't think I would have been able to make it on the other side of midnight, because once we were told to shelter in place, it was no more contact, which is something that you don't really, people don't really understand. That's a really scary place to be with, when you can't have interactions with other individuals outside of a phone call.
Yeah, and that's the part where I go back to your faith and resilience and community have been such an important part of this. And we applaud you for that, which you've done, but also sharing the story. And one of the things that you said a moment ago, you said this a couple of times, that the importance of not being stuck in your silo and the importance of community and having that around you. We are no doubt, and you know this, we're in a very, very crazy and tough time in our greater community in this country right now and throughout the world, if you were to broaden it to that part of the conversation. But, you know, socially, politically, economically, right now, community is incredibly important in the things that we're facing, because to your point, we don't know what people are stressed with in their world. And if they've gone silent, what they've magnified by going silent and not having that community. So I would ask you to answer this question, of which I think I know the answer to, about how important it is to check on people and to reach out to people and to see how folks are doing in general, but now specifically where we are as a country and what we're all fighting through.
Yes, it's a very scary time that we're living in. And so we just can't assume that everyone is handling it well, right? And so you need to check in on your loved ones and your friends, even the ones who, you know, often you feel like, oh, they're okay because they, you know how you just have those people in your life that's okay with being alone.
Right.
But sometimes it's not okay with being alone, and you still need to check in on that person, because you just don't know how the things that are going on in our current climate is affecting your loved ones. We can't assume that everyone is doing all right with what's going on in the world. And so it's very important, because mental health concerns and mental health issues is major right now. And it's not taking a lot for people to break. And we're seeing this increase in depression and anxiety and all these things where, you know, when you would just say, oh, I'm a little depressed or I'm anxious about something. No, these are real disorders that people are struggling with, that they could be clinically dealing with, that we need to make sure we're checking in on our loved ones, because you just don't know how they're being affected by what is happening in our world. As you have stated, like, you can't, it's no hands off right now. It's all hands on deck in this time to make sure that our people are doing good and that they're okay.
Dr. Crawford, it can't be stated any better. So I'm not going to say anything to follow up on that, other than to say thank you so much for your courage and your energy that you bring to this topic. The book is The Other Side of Midnight. How can folks find you? How can people purchase the book to be able to take advantage of your courage and the writing that you put out here for us?
The book can be found on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Apple Books. You can reach out to me at ErieScrawfordPhD.org, and you can also purchase the book through my website as well, if you don't want to go to any of those platforms.
Fantastic. Dr. Crawford, thank you so much for being with us. Thanks for your courage, and thanks for your insight about how we as a community have to all come together and work together to move us forward. So thanks for being with us this morning. We look forward to having you back in the future. Does that sound good?
Yes, thank you. Thank you for having me this morning.
Absolutely. Have a great day, Dr. Crawford. Thanks for being with us. Bye now.
Bye.
Bye-bye.